here this morning and pray that you'll be praying for the service as we once again come your way from the great city of Chicago. Well, many come that way, so it must not be too great. Something about the north that the southern people don't seem to like. I haven't figured out what it is yet, but maybe it's the cold weather. As I think about this morning, I have a few things here that I want to bring to your attention. As I've served the Lord since I was 20 years of age and been in many churches, not a lot of churches. I believe you should stay in a church until the Lord calls you to another one. You need to be sure about that. But what is one of the greatest needs in the life of a young believer? What is the greatest need in the life of a church? And what is the greatest need in mature Christians who have been fathers and mothers for many years as servants of God? Is understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus, when he was here on earth, as you're going to see in a few moments, was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for everything that he did. He was God manifested in the flesh. What the mystery of godliness. You know, you think about Jesus Christ as being God and man. But in his humanity, he did not depend upon his power as the eternal Son of God, but he lived his life as a man upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit to set us an example that we're to live as believers and followers of him upon the power ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I'm afraid too many times we depend too much upon intellectual services. In the age of computers, as Brother Reggie knows, back in the back, there's many, many today online and Bible chat rooms discussing scriptures. We have a lot of knowledge today. But we need something more than just knowledge. We need the application of that knowledge to the inner man by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's one of the greatest needs today in the churches of God. How is your spiritual life this morning? In your own life. Only you can answer that. We think upon Paul, the great apostle Paul, as he wrote, as he preached to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That should be your theme this morning. To know more of Jesus Christ. Yes, they're unsearchable. Why? Because he's an infinite God. And the more you get into the book, the more you see mysteries that you cannot understand, but which challenge the heart, inspire the soul, and lift up your spirit. And that's the teachings of the gospel, the teachings of this wonderful book, as this brother has mentioned. We need the Word of God. And as we're going to see, the Word of God is what? It's the sword of the Spirit. Before we begin, may we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you this morning for traveling grace to be here. We thank you for Grace Chapel and their members. And for those who are traveling this week, may you give them traveling grace and be with them today. And be with the other, Brother Bob and other ministers who are preaching the Word of God this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in our life. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and died and gave himself for us. And Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave your unspeakable gift to redeem us and buy us out of bondage. And pray this morning for a while that you will teach us through the ministry of thy word that we might see a few glimpses of truth that might inspire our hearts, lift our souls, and inspire us to seek after righteousness, which satisfies to the fullest. Now, Father, glorify your Son through the preaching of your word and pray that you'll speak to hearts and souls this morning. For this is the purpose of preaching, is to save them to believe, to deliver us from things in our lives that we need delivering from. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, it's joy to be here to see some new faces, some old faces, and some I've known for a while, and some I don't think I've met. But again, it's a joy to be here. And Mount Zion is meeting this morning in Crown Point, Indiana. Sends our love to the church here. We pray for you, and as we know that you're praying for us in Mount Zion. God has been good to us lately and blessed us in many ways, and I can see that He's blessing Grace Chapel here. Now, I know the subject that I've chosen this morning will be a blessing to you because I know your pastor, Brother Zach, speaks much upon the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit in the church. Because I've heard him say many things. You know, in the book of Romans, it says in verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Beloved, this is, we think of the building here. You know, this is not Grace Chapel. You look up and see this building. Here is Grace Chapel. The people sitting in the pew. Spirit. The church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not made up of stone. It's made up of people with spirits which have been quickened by His divine grace. You are the church. Now, I'm not saying that the building is not important, but the building is not the church. It's a building. And one day it'll be burnt, one day it'll be destroyed with everything else. But the church will be called out of glory to meet in that city whose builder and maker is God. So as you think about the kingdom of God this morning, think about righteousness. What's the first thing that the Spirit of God reveals to us? The righteousness of another, Jesus Christ. What does that bring? It brings peace of God that passeth, as Paul says, all understanding. And what does that produce in you? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And how does that come? It comes in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you need righteousness this morning, if you need peace this morning, and if you need joy this morning, it's going to come to you, how? Through the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come through the preacher. It doesn't come through great learning. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It's His joy that's manifested to the saints of God. Have you ever thought about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we're to preach Christ and Him crucified, Apostle Paul. But all through the life of Jesus Christ, even though He was God, everything He did, His teachings, His commandments, the miracles, everything was through the Holy Spirit's ministry. How much more do we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit today as a church? Let me read you a few verses. We think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the very beginning in Mary. It says in Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." Exactly what happened in that, I do not know. But there was something marvelous happened. Mary was conceived some way. How God did it, I don't know. And Christ was born, His flesh. It was flesh that was born, who was united to the person of the eternal Son of God, who existed from eternity, and God-man was born in time. It's the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, "A body thou hast prepared for me." Now, how God did that, I'm not going to try to explain it. I just believe it. Some way God, the Holy Spirit, the body was prepared and put in the seed was put in the womb of Mary, and she brought forth the child who was the God-man, Jesus Christ. The next time we see the Lord Jesus Christ was at His baptism. It says in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came down from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased." And Jesus Himself began to be about the age of 30 years of age. When Christ was baptized, you see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. And you hear the Father saying from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see Christ being anointed for His ministry as man. It says in the book of John, chapter 3, 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Now, if any man was filled totally, 100%, with the Spirit of the living God, it was the man, Christ Jesus. You remember in the book of Acts, when he was talking to the disciples, it says in verse 2, chapter 1, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice that? After that he through the Holy Ghost hath given commandments. He lived holily upon the Holy Spirit. He honored the Holy Spirit. There's no jealousy in the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Do we understand that? No. We accept it by faith. It says, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In chapter 10 of the book of Acts, it says, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Beloved, Jesus, the Son of God, did everything depending upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, follow me. You are to live your life as a young believer, if you're just come to the faith. If you've been in the faith for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, we're still to live our life depending upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that may have surprised some of you, because we think of Christ being God. Why did He need the Spirit? Because in the flesh, He set an example for you and I. As the man, Christ Jesus, He lived upon the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, it says in Acts 13:2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And verse 4 it says, and they being full of the, sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, then Saul, who was Paul, called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. It speaks of Paul being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we think of Paul as one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. Why was he so great? Was it because of who he was? It was because he was a chosen vessel. And it was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit that Paul was taught things to reveal to the church. It was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Paul who made Paul what he was. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He gave God the glory. He gave God the glory. If you think about the preaching of Paul, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now today, we have a lot of preaching in word only. Because a lot of ministers, including myself, I'm sure at times, are not totally depending upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preaching. You know, Satan is so clever and pride is such a danger. So many times that as we learn, as we study Greek, we can study Hebrew, we have computers, we study this, we study. If we're not careful, we can depend upon our intellectual knowledge and not the power of the Holy Spirit, simply taking the Word of God and applying it to people's hearts. There's a danger even in studying for a minister. I challenge you, pray for your pastor. Pray that God will protect him from pride. Pray that God will protect him from leaning upon wisdom and intellectualism. Now, we have to study, and we are challenged to study to show thyself approved unto God. But, beloved, we still must maintain our attitude of constant dependence on the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it comes to teaching and preaching the Word of God. Notice what he goes on to say. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. One of my favorite verses, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's Paul saying that. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul says, I was with you in weakness. We think of Paul being such a giant. I was with you. You think of Paul having such power. But when it comes to self-sufficiency, Paul knew he was nothing. And much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. We don't have to tell stories to try to break your heart. Mother, grandmother's in heaven waiting on you. You better get saved. There's so many people using such psychological methods to try to get decisions from people. Beloved, when the Spirit of God calls His people, you don't need someone to beg them. They'll come. He said, my people shall be made willing in the day of my power. But going on in this verse, he said, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do we need that today? Yes. We need the same Holy Spirit. We need the same manifestation. We need the same demonstration in the church today as they needed back in Corinth when this was preached by the Apostle Paul. So, beloved, what should you pray for? You need to be praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Grace Chapel. You need to be praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer, and be praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in other ministers whom you know throughout the country. We need God. Just a few more examples before we get into the heart of this message this morning. The Apostle Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, it says, then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of people and elders of Israel. When he preached that sermon, when 3,000 souls were converted that day, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples, it says, were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 15:32, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You know, Stephen, when he was stoned to death, as he looked into heaven, it has this to say about Stephen in Acts 6:5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. The disciples, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus, their ministry was under the influence, the operation of the Holy Spirit. The early church was to wait for what? Until they be endued with power from on high. The Lord knew that the church was helpless until it was sealed with the witness of the power of the Spirit. And they had such boldness as they went forth that the people couldn't believe it was the same group when He was crucified who Peter denied Him on the day of Pentecost was preaching boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. What made the difference? The Holy Spirit made the difference. Now, as you look at your Christian life, you're up, you're down, and you're up, you're down. And sometimes this can be the norm. We're human beings. We forget we're flesh and blood. But we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. God's Word says, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Quit trying to live tomorrow and live today. Now, that's not easy to do. We worry about everything, don't we? We're planning ahead. And sometimes that's okay, as long as it doesn't create stress. We're thinking about this, we're thinking about that. You know, Jesus said, and sometimes we overlook the simplicity of that, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough evil today to keep us busy as a Christian without worrying about the evil for tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year. So, beloved, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see as we get into the Word of God, in our everyday Christian life. First of all, the ministry of the Spirit begins when? In the new birth. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John said in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth, that's in the past tense, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. I'm sorry, I believe it's present tense, and is born of God is past tense. That means you were born of God before you ever believed. In other words, believing is an evidence of life, not the cause of life. And that's the ministry of who? The preacher? No. The Holy Spirit. Give your honor. and give the glory to the Holy Spirit. When you profess your believing in baptism, when you go under the water and you come out of the water to walk in newness of life, beloved, that is the anointing of the Spirit. That's a sign, a seal of the Spirit. Baptism is a sealing of the Spirit in a sense. You know, it speaks in Ephesians of the sealing of the Spirit. That's assurance of salvation and evidence in your life that you are a child of God. Paul's speaking about. Some have it greater, some have it less, some have it sometimes, and because of the infirmities, we can not be walking by faith, walking by feelings. You know, we get to the point we depend upon our feelings, whether we're a child of God or not. Oh, I don't feel like a child of God today, so I must not be. The Word of God teaches clearly, the just shall live by faith. God hadn't changed. His Word hadn't changed. Only your feelings has changed. Don't trust your feelings. They'll get you in trouble. So the birth, the new birth, is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We're to walk in the Spirit. As a Christian, your life is characterized by your walk. Does it mean that you're walking today and you're not walking tomorrow? It's that continual going forth as a Christian. We are to be walking, how? In the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, Paul says that we're to live in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust thereof. And he goes on to say that we're to live in the Spirit. And in Romans 8, 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." The Spirit of life in Christ. What life does the Spirit create in us? The life of Christ. We are what? Living epistles, read and known of all men. So you cannot be born again apart from the Spirit. You cannot walk a Christian life apart from the Spirit. And you cannot live in the Spirit apart from the Holy Spirit. And this brings us to the next thought, the need of the Spirit in your life, is you cannot pray apart from the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groaning which cannot be uttered." And Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit." In the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that we can snap our finger and command the Spirit. I believe when Paul is speaking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, it means our total dependence upon the ministry of the Spirit in everything we do as a Christian. You need love. Where does love come from? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not self-produced. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. He says this in the book of Jude, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," praying under the power and influence of the Spirit, and not going by feelings, but living by faith and studying the Word of God, we're going to see. As you read the Word of God, as you pray by the Word of God, you're praying in the Spirit and in the Holy Ghost. You cannot separate the Holy Ghost from the Word and the Word from the Holy Spirit. He works through the ministry of the Word. And another thing I want you to realize, you know, Christ said this in John, that when He has come, He shall take a mind and reveal it unto you. He's the great revealer of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church. He shall take a mind and reveal them unto you. Do you want Christ to be more precious to your soul? Why is it some people are so enthused about Christ and others are not? They're both born again. I believe it's because some are reading the Word, as Brother Kevin mentioned. As you read the Word, read the four Gospels, read the teaching of Jesus Christ, and praying for the Spirit of God to take those truths and make a manifestation upon your heart. And then suddenly, the things that once you read were just words will be coming active and alive in your soul, and you'll be amazed at what you can see by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just like when you used to come to church when you were dead. You heard the same words, but now they're different, aren't they? What makes the difference? Ministry of the Spirit. You're born again. You have a faculty that now that can hear. You have eyes that can see. You can comprehend spiritual things. Before, they were just words. Now, their words enter into your soul, and you can digest them. You can eat those words, and you can feast upon those words, and they become part of you. Paul says, What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Beloved, we need the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. What does that teach us right there? Just that one thought of the Spirit's ministry, prayer. When we pray, we're saying, God, you're my sufficiency. When we don't pray, we're saying, Lord, I'm sufficient. We need the Spirit of God, don't we? Spirit of supplications. What's another great ministry of the Holy Spirit? We've mentioned it a few times. We're taught spiritual things by the Holy Spirit. We're taught this book through pastor teachers, through fellowship in the congregation as you share each the thing that you learn spiritually with others. Paul says in Romans, it's common faith as we share those things. Beloved, you can share a thing with me that I don't know. God reveals things to people in the church just like He does ministers as they read the Word of God, as they study and as they meditate through their experiences in life. You may go through an experience that I haven't been through, and when I come to that experience, you can share something with me that I need when I go through that experience. We forget that sometimes. We are body of Christ, members in particular. And as we each one go through different trials and tribulations, God has set you in the church to help someone else. Not just be receiving all the time, but to be giving too. We're to receive and give that the body of Christ can be complete. Did you know you could be a blessing to your pastor as much as he's a blessing to you? By sharing your faith, sharing those things God is doing for you, it may be the very thing He needs one day when He's cast down. Something you might share. Boy, a light comes on. I needed that. You say, I never thought about helping the pastor the way he helps me. Beloved, we all, as individuals in the house of God, help one another. We build each other up in the faith. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 has this to say, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is the teacher in the church of the new covenant. You are to depend upon the Spirit in understanding and reading the Word of God. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to be your teacher? When you kneel down to read the Word, or when you're studying the Word, do you take time to say, Holy Spirit, teach me today? Open up my mind, open up my heart, that I can understand the book that you wrote. The Spirit of God wrote the Word of God through men. And we need the same Holy Spirit to reveal those truths to us as believers today. He says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That could be comparing Scripture with Scripture. Comparing spiritual words with spiritual words. Comparing the teaching of Christ with the teaching of Paul, with the teaching of Peter, the teaching of John, and see how they all become a unit in one, and agree. We need to study the Word of God, beloved. And as we study the Word of God, the Spirit will apply it to your life. Now, the Spirit of God doesn't always teach the same way to everyone. We're all at different levels. There's daughters, there's sons, there's children, there's fathers, there's mothers. at youth. The Bible speaks of youthful lust, which war against the soul. There's a danger in being young, and that's one of them. As you grow older, there's other dangers. There's the dangers of worry, fear, unbelief, depression, discouragement. We have to fight different things at different levels in our physical frame as human beings. And the Holy Spirit will use different verses, different truths, different illustrations, different people to help you in your Christian life. He may take an older person in the congregation, or He could take a babe in the congregation, or a child in the congregation. The Spirit can use any instrument He pleases and teach us many lessons. In Ephesians 1:17, it says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." You need to be praying that prayer as a Christian. I need to be praying that prayer as a minister. The spirit of wisdom. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It means a manifestation, something being made real to you, made known to you in the knowledge of Christ. We need to know more of Christ. What will heaven be? I believe heaven throughout eternity will be learning and learning and learning more about the great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the God-man, who redeemed us throughout eternity. It's going to be glorious. One day, we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died and gave Himself for us. In Colossians 1:9, I read this in a commentary one time. It said, "The end of all knowledge is conduct." Remember that. The purpose of reading God's Word is to influence your conduct and your walk as a Christian. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We need to be filled with wisdom and understanding that we might know how to finish the vocation wherein we were called, our conduct, our walk as a Christian. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, as you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth, and know why, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need the ministry of your pastor. But that means the ministry of your pastor is not the real teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that applies the truth in the inner man to you. Who does that give the glory to? Not the pastor. It gives the glory to who? The Holy Spirit. It gives the glory to God. God is the teacher that teaches His people in the inner man spiritual things. We are just simply a voice crying in the wilderness like John was. He must increase. We must decrease. We're to think about the Holy Spirit as we meet in the service and as you sing. Sing in the Spirit. There's no worship apart from the Holy Spirit. Part of the service of God in the church is to worship and adore the Lord our God. Nothing is greater to me is when you come in the house of God and people are singing in the Spirit and you can feel the presence of God and the worship going up to the God of glory and singing in hymns and songs as we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. Jesus said, "Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Paul says, "For we have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Don't be listening to how good you sound. That's fleshly. It's so easy to listen to the tones. And nothing wrong with beautiful singing. Don't misunderstand me. But we have to even guard against the flesh in singing. Isn't the flesh creep in so easy, can it? All of a sudden, we're more concerned on how it sounds and that we're singing praises to God. What's the thing that we're doing? we're offering up praises to God. Make a joy for noise unto the Lord, all you lands. I heard this illustration one time with a little girl who was about 5 years old, and she wrote a letter to her dad, and he was reading it. This word was spelled wrong, and this word was spelled wrong, and this word was wrong, and couldn't hardly understand this, but he seen the heart of the message. And it can be some poor saint singing in the congregation, maybe out of tune, but you know it's coming from the heart and it's going straight to glory. And the Lord doesn't care about the tune part of it. It's coming from the heart. And so many times as we sing with understanding, as we sing with a beautiful voice, and if you have that, God gave you that gift. Use it for the glory of God. But remember, we're singing to the praise and honor of God, no matter how it sounds, as far as you as an individual. Some people won't sing because they feel so inadequate. They can't sing in harmony like others do. I said sometimes I sound like a bullfrog in a bucket when I sing. But we're to sing to the glory and honor of God. Now, I tell you something. One of the things that influenced me so much the first time I came to Grace Chapel was the singing here. So beautiful. So heavenly. Just creates a spirit of worship. You want to sing praises to your God and adore your God. And I believe both can go together. Again, I'm just reminding you, we have to guard as Christians against even singing in the flesh if we're not careful. Our communion with the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Do you take time to commune with God? Quiet devotion. There's a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But did you ever think about something that there is an advocate between us, in a sense, and Christ? The Holy Spirit. Who is it that stirs up our hearts to pray? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who do we pray to? The Father. In whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, while we're here in the church of the living God, the Spirit of God is communicating us through the Spirit. We're being built together to be a temple. It says in the book of Ephesians here, it says in chapter 3, it says, now therefore, let's begin verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to God the Father through Christ, through the Spirit. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners and fellow citizens, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God. How? Through the Spirit. It says God set in the church as it pleased Him. Why are you at Grace Chapel? Because God the Spirit has set you in this church for a purpose, to glorify Him and to be a strength to the church and to be a body of Christ in particular, members in particular, and to sing praises unto God and to glorify His name on this earth. You're here for a purpose. And that's why God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because we're all needed at the house of God. No matter how insignificant you may feel, you're needed. Because why? God put you here. He put you here for a reason and for a purpose. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. In closing, I want to reveal this to you. If you haven't seen it before, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now if you're in bondage this morning, you're not at liberty. And if you're in bondage, you're not filled with the Spirit. in the sense that you're not under the control of the Spirit, because love casteth out fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and of love. And if we're bound this morning with bondage of stress, worry, those things are of the flesh. Now, we all have to fight against those things. But liberty comes by yielding ourselves to God, giving it to God, in the sense that you just turn it loose. Say, Lord, I can't do it. You've got to do something. I'm helpless. He goes on to say, but we with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Where do you behold the glory of the Lord? In His Word. As you read the Word of the Lord, you are beholding the face of the glory of the Lord. It's like you look in a mirror. And it says, as you're doing that, you are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Beloved, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and conforms you as you read it into the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's important to read the Word of God. Yes, it's important to meditate in the Word of God. Yes, it's important to read and meditate, because as you are reading the Word, the Spirit of God is working in the inner man and He's changing you into the image of Christ. And that's why we're called living epistles, read and known of all men. And in closing, every one of us need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. How can we dwell together as believers in a sinful body, get along with each other, with our temperaments, with our sinfulness, with our weaknesses, with our ungodliness, with our worldliness? Oh, you don't have that. I'm sorry. Just up in Mount Zion. But we have problems in the body because we're not totally sanctified apart from sin. It still remains in us. And sometimes it'll pop up in every home with anger. I'm having my way no matter what, they say. I'm over 21, I'll do as I please. Oh, what brought that spirit about? Anger. Pride. And how do we overcome those things in our life? And this is where we all live. Don't deny it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You've got to see that you need wisdom before you can ask for it. Beloved, we must see our infirmities and admit them and say, yes, I have trouble with anger, Brother Rhodes. I have trouble with these things. That's half the victory. Actually, it's almost all the victory. Says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I tell you something, when you are so filled with the love of God and you can see the love of God for you, you can love others as you ought.
Now, that's how important it is to see the love of God. As you read God's Word and you see His love to you, and you're just joying in the Lord as you see the love of God, how He loved us, what all He's done for us, sending His Son, the death of Christ on the cross, all the things God has prepared for them to love Him. As you were manifesting, these things are becoming real to you, that love. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? Through the Holy Ghost. As those things are becoming real to you, that love will come forth to others in demonstration. See, if you don't receive, you can't give anything out. If you're not receiving spiritual things, you're going to be giving out what? Fleshly things. Anger, envy, jealousy, backbiting, selfishness. What was the first sin that was committed? Selfishness. What is that? Acting independent of God. God says, thou shalt not. And they say, we're going to do it anyway. Every sin at the very foundation is selfishness. I'm going to have my own way. Whether it be a father being selfish with his wife, or the wife being selfish with her husband, children being selfish against their parents, parents being selfish with their children, young people being selfish with each other. I won't be friends with her. If you're friends with her, will you? Selfishness. Oh, we have to deal with that. What was the thing that Jesus struck at the very heart of His teaching? If a man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross and what? Deny himself and follow me. That's the heart of the gospel. But how much do you hear preached on that? Oh, beloved. We need the Holy Spirit because self cannot cast out self. You ever tried that? Have you ever tried to live the Christian life on your own self-effort, and every time you try, you get knocked down again? It takes the ministry of the Holy Spirit and a life of obedience and dedication to God, yielding to God. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God which worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. One of the things that we seem to forget is that we have our part. We're to wait on the Lord. We're to pray. We're to sow. If a farmer doesn't sow, he doesn't get any crop, does he? He has to harvest, wheat, do those things. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. We have some things that we're to do as children of God. We're to pray. Why? Because we're commanded to pray. We're to read the Word of God because we're commanded to. And we should have a heart like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Oh, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our churches today. I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life, and so many. And everything that I've said this morning, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to seek the face of the Lord. I need to seek the face of the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm tired of playing a Christian life. I want You to take over. I can't do it. And no matter what area of your life you have a problem with, take it to the Lord. God can take care of it. As He told Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing. There's nothing. There's another thing I was going to deal with, but I'll deal with that tonight, the Lord willing. The source of your power. We'll be looking at that also. We need power in the Christian life. You need a force to overcome forces. You need strength to overcome prevailing strengths that are coming against us. And beloved, we are fighting spiritual forces as families, as Christians, and as churches, as Americans, as individuals, as citizens. We are at war with outside forces. And I don't know about you, but if you don't feel the struggle within with the power of evil, then there's something wrong somewhere. You know what tribulation is? Tribulation is pressure. And what is the world trying to bring upon the Christian today? Pressure. Tribulation. The more pressure you feel, What are you under? You're under tribulation. And there's times in your life as a Christian that you can feel tribulation extremely powerful in your life. And there's times God's grace pulls it back because He promised that He had never put more upon us than we can bear. Thank God for that. Sometimes your faith and my faith may get so weak and we may become so discouraged we think, this is the end of me. And all of a sudden, the burden lifts. Because God says, that's enough. You've learned what I want you to learn. And He lifts the burden. So, beloved, as we go through these trials and tribulations in life, God will never put more upon His church, upon you as a believer, upon families than we can bear by His grace. I pray this morning I said a few things that would stir your heart to study the Word. And that the Spirit of God will become a real person to you. Not just part of the Trinity in the sense of theological terms, but that you'll live every day like Christ did, like Paul did, like Peter, like Stephen, like all the disciples, depending upon the ministry of the Spirit for everything that you do spiritually in your life. May we pray. Our gracious Father, as we bow in Your presence, we thank You for the Word of the living God. And we pray that You'll teach us more about the ministry of the Spirit in our Christian life. Lord, we know so much, yet we know so little. We know a lot about Jesus, and yet we know so few things about Jesus. Because they're unsearchable. And God's ways are so high above our ways, and His thoughts above our thoughts. But Lord, we ask You to reveal unto us those things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank You for Grace Chapel and for their ministry here in this community, for their ministry among the Primitive Baptist churches, for their pastor, for the deacons here, for the saints here. Lord, we love them in Jesus Christ. And just pray that You'll continue to bless them spiritually, bless them, Lord, in their numbers to grow, that there might be a light in this community. And Lord, just thank You for the ones who've been called to the ministry. May You continue to bless them, and may You continue to call forth labors into the harvest. For truly, Lord, we're in the last days. We praise Your name this morning for the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, who sent us another Comforter, that He may abide with us forever. In His name we do pray. Amen.